Welcome to the deep dive. So you sent over some info. Looks like you're trying to figure out these HTS codes specifically for importing custom steel parts into the U.S.
That's right. It's a common challenge, actually.
Yeah, looks like it could be tricky. We've got an article here, maybe some of your notes too. And our mission today really is to pull out the key stuff you need to know.
Exactly. Help you navigate it, avoid the common slip-ups.
Because getting it wrong seems like it could cause some real problems, right? Delays, costs.
Oh, absolutely. It impacts your compliance, your costs, how quickly you even get your parts. It's pretty fundamental stuff for importing.
Okay, let's jump right in then. First things first. What is an HTS code? Sounds important.
It definitely is. The Harmonized Tariff Schedule Code, HTS for short, it's basically a 10-digit number. U.S. Customs uses it to classify, well, everything coming into the country.
Like a product ID?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
A universal one for trade, at least for classification. And this code tells customs the tariff rate, you know, the duty you pay.
The money part.
The money part, yes, but also any special rules or regulations for that specific type of steel part. And maybe if it qualifies for like a trade agreement discount.
So a 10-digit number holds a lot of weight. It's not just about the tax.
Not at all. I mean, the duty is obviously a big one for your costs, but the code also flags if you need, say, specific import licenses or certificates, or if there are quotas or, you know, other restrictions on that kind of steel, it's all tied to that code.
And the source material mentioned something about the digits, like the first six are international, but the last four are U.S. specific, managed by the USITC.
Exactly. So those first six digits, they're part of the global harmonized system. Means countries mostly agree on the broad categories. Helps track global trade, you
Makes
know.
sense. Standardization.
Right. But then the U.S. adds its own last four digits. That's where they get really specific for tariff rates and statistical tracking within the U.S. market.
So you really need that full 10-digit U.S. code. The first six aren't enough.
Nope, definitely not. You need the whole thing for U.S. imports.
Okay, so drilling down on why you, the listener, need to nail this, what are the real risks if you get it wrong?
Well, beyond paying the wrong duty amount, which we'll get back to, there's compliance. You've got to follow the rules.
Right.
The correct code ensures you are. It also impacts eligibility for things like free trade agreements, which could save you, you know, quite a bit of money.
And the downsides.
Ah, the downsides. Big ones. Penalties, definitely. Customs can hit you with fines if you underpay duties due to a wrong code.
Ouch.
Yeah, and delays. Your shipment could get held up at the port while they figure out the right classification. Or, worst case, it could even be seized.
Seized. Wow. Okay, that's serious.
It is. Messes up your whole supply chain. So accuracy is just, well, it's critical. Risk management, really.
The info you sent even breaks down the HTS components in a table.
Yeah.
Really hammers home those 10 digits are the key.
They absolutely are. And the consequences, you might think, oh, it's just one digit off, but it matters. Well, like we said, overpaying duties eats into your profit. Nobody wants that. But underpaying, that's where customs get serious. Back duties, interest on top of that, maybe hefty fines.
Sounds expensive.
It can be. And then there are the operational headaches. Delays mean you don't get your parts when you need them. Seizure is obviously a disaster. It's just not worth guessing.
Okay, point taken. Accuracy is paramount. So let's get practical. How does our listener actually find the right code for their custom steel parts? Your sources mentioned some online tools.
Yes, thankfully you're not flying completely blind. There are some really good resources. The main one, the official starting point, is the UTPC HTS search tool.
USITC, that's the International Trade Commission.
Correct. Their website, hts.utic.gov, has the official Harmonized Tariff Schedule database. You can type in a description of your part.
So I just type like steel bracket.
You can, but you'll get better results if you're more specific. Try something like forged carbon steel angle bracket for construction, or machined stainless steel shaft for pump. You know, details matter. Material processing function.
More details, better results. Makes sense. The info also mentioned FindHS codes. How's that different?
FindHS codes is described as more of a maybe a smart search tool. It uses keyword and thematic searches. It can be quite helpful, especially, say, if you're new to this or if your part is really niche.
So, like a second opinion, or if the official tool isn't quite clicking?
Kind of, yeah. It might offer different angles or search paths. Sometimes it helps you think about the classification differently, maybe suggest codes the official tool didn't immediately surface. Good for cross-referencing.
And the third one mentioned was CROSS, Customs Rulings Online Search System. Sounds official.
It is very official and very useful. CROSS is a database rulings.cbp.gov, where Customs and Border Protection, CBP, publishes its past decisions on how specific products were classified.
Ah, so you can see how they've ruled on similar stuff before.
Exactly. You search for rulings on steel parts like yours. It gives you legal precedent, essentially. Shows you how CBP interprets the HTS for items similar to what you're importing. It's a really powerful check.
So the strategy is use the official USITC tool first with lots of detail.
Right.
Maybe cross-check with something like Find HS Codes.
Mm-hmm.
And then definitely look for similar cases in cross to see the official rulings.
That's the best practice, yeah. Layering those sources gives you the most confidence that you've landed on the right code.
Okay, shifting gears slightly. The information talks specifically about steel products.
Yeah.
Chapters 72 and 73 of the HTS seem to be the main players.
They are, yeah. Broadly speaking, Chapter 72 covers the more basic forms of iron and steel. Think raw materials or semi-finished stuff.
Like what?
Things like slabs, billets, sheets, coils, bars, rods, the kind of stuff you might import to make something else.
Gotcha. And Chapter 73?
Chapter 73 is for articles made of iron or steel, so finished goods or components ready to be used. This is where most custom parts likely fall. Things like tubes, pipes, structures, pipe fittings, flanges, brackets, a huge range.
Okay. Raw materials in 72, finished articles usually in 73. That seems clear enough.
Generally, yes.
The examples given were helpful. Stainless steel pipe fittings, carbon steel angle brackets, forged flanges, all Chapter 73. But then machined steel shafts in Chapter 84. That threw me a bit.
Ah, yes. That's a really important point. It shows that classification isn't just about the material. Sometimes the function or use of the part overrides the material classification.
How so?
Well, Chapter 84 covers machinery, mechanical appliances, and their parts. If a steel shaft is specifically designed as a part of a machine covered in Chapter 84, like a pump shaft or an engine crankshaft, then it often gets classified with the machinery in Chapter 84, not just as a generic steel article in Chapter 73.
So what the part does can be more important than what it's made of for classification.
Exactly. You always have to consider the part's ultimate purpose and context. Is it a general use steel item, or is it specifically identifiable as a part of particular machinery? That distinction can change the chapter entirely.
Okay, that's a key nuance. So for a listener figuring this out for their own parts, what are the main characteristics they need to pin down?
The source material highlights four key things, really. First, composition, what kind of steel is it? Carbon, alloy, stainless, that matters a lot.
Wow.
Second, shape or form, is it a plate, sheet, tube, bar, casting, forging, the basic geometry?
Mm-hmm.
Third, processing, how was it made? Was it just cast? Was it forged, machined, cold drawn, heat treated? Those processes affect classification.
Okay.
And fourth, as we just discussed, function. What is this part designed to do? Is it structural? Is it part of a specific machine?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing these four things helps you zero in on the right section of the HTS.
Composition, form, processing, function. Got it. We've stressed getting it right, but let's revisit the consequences if you don't. The info was pretty blunt about the risks.
It needs to be, honestly, because the consequences can be significant. And remember, the source is clear. The importer, that's you, the listener, is legally responsible for declaring the right code.
Okay, so what are we talking about, practically speaking? What kind of trouble?
Well, on one hand, you might use a code with a higher duty rate than necessary. That means you're overpaying duties. Bad for your wallet, but less risky legally.
Right, just losing money unnecessarily.
Exactly. The bigger worry is underpaying duties. If CBP audits you or inspects a shipment and finds you used a code with a lower duty rate than required, well, that's when the problems start.
Such as?
You'll likely owe the back duties plus interest. And depending on the circumstances, they can levy pretty substantial penalties and fines. We're not talking small change, necessarily.
Yikes.
And then there's the logistics side. Incorrect codes are a common reason for cargo delays. Your shipment gets stuck at the port while customs sorts it out. Or again, in serious cases or replete offenses, seizure is a possibility.
That delay factor alone could be huge for a business relying on those parts.
Absolutely. Production lines stop, customers get angry. And finally, getting flagged for non-compliance means you can probably expect much more scrutiny on your future imports. More inspections, more audits. It's a headache you want to avoid.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So how do you avoid it? The info had some tips for compliance, right?
Yes, crucially. Document everything. Keep records of why you chose a specific HTS code. Note the part specs, the tools you used, any cross rulings you found. Show your homework, basically.
Due diligence.
Precisely. And if you're genuinely uncertain, especially for high-value or regular shipments, consider requesting a binding ruling from CBP.
A binding ruling.
Yeah, you submit detailed information about your product, and CBP provides an official, legally binding classification ruling for that specific item. It gives you certainty.
That sounds very valuable for complex parts.
It can be. And the last tip is internal. Make sure your team understands this. Purchasing, logistics, anyone involved needs to know how important accurate classification is. Maybe some training is needed.
Good point. It's not just one person's job. Okay, let's try to summarize the key takeaways for our listener trying to classify their custom steel parts. What's the process boil down to?
Okay, boil it down. First, know your product inside and out. Composition, form, processing, and especially its function.
Step one, know the part.
Step two, use the official tools. Start with the USITC HTS search, be specific, then critically check the cross-state database for CBP rulings on similar items. Maybe use other tools like FinHS codes as a cross-reference.
Step two, use the tools, especially USITC and CROSS.
Exactly. Combine those sources for the best picture.
And just remind us one more time, why is this diligence so crucial?
Because that HTS code dictates your tariffs, ensures you're meeting import regulations, and keeps your shipments moving smoothly. Getting it wrong risks fines, delays, potential seizure, basically a lot of cost and disruption you don't need.
Right. So, final piece of advice. If someone's listening and they're still feeling unsure,
Don't guess. Seriously. If there's real doubt, talk to an expert. A licensed customs broker deals with this stuff every day. Or, as we said, apply for that binding ruling from CBP. The upfront effort or cost is almost always worth it compared to the potential penalties later.
solid advice. Protect yourself by getting expert help or official confirmation. Makes total sense. All right. Well, that brings us towards the end. And it leaves me with a thought, sort of building on this. Considering how globally interconnected supply chains are and how complex this classification can be, what role do you think standardized systems like the HTS play in the bigger picture? You know, for international trade stability, economic predictability, something to mull over. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today.